You are about to receive messages that may be harmful to your mental state. Your sense of reality will be questioned. Your view on things will be altered. You are now part of the meta. The meta controls everything. The meta determines what will and will not happen. You are watching the meta show.
And welcome once again to the Meta Show. This is June 27th, 2020. We are on War Watch week number 2 of the potential fighting in World War B.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited. I think the audience is excited because everybody's here early.
I got it's a different environment. It's a black shirt day. The first question that I got from Murano was black shirt. This is actually a gift from my girlfriend. It's a very nice Armani fancy shirt.
I like it.
But it's cold and black like my soul. So I'm going all gothy on this one. But yeah, it's a crazy time. So we actually got a super cool show. Like if you were on the fireside beforehand, I was herfing mini blurfs. But this one is going to be less of me herfing blurfs and running my mouth and screaming about Hell War. And more, we've got a couple of really cool guests lined up. So, war's coming, regardless of what the puppies do. World War B is happening. And we have Dark Shines from the Initiative, and we have Asher Elias from Gunsmar Federation, who will be joining us as guests once we get through our starting off soapboxy type things. Brisk has a few things he wants to say, and then we'll. I don't think I actually have a soapbox this time around.
So you don't have a soapbox? Are you sure?
We'll see. Maybe my mood will change because I told the guys at the start of the show that I had just got done running my mouth on the fireside. We had 1,100 plus people join us on the fireside, and then I was like, I should probably take a breather. But the reality is, as we all know, I will get excited about something and I will start talking and I will not shut up. But for now, I think we're good. Brisk, why don't we, let's get stuck in.
Worse for me. All right, look. So one of the things that I wanted to do, we're ready for war. I know we're ready for war, but I still have politics I have to deal with. So I'm here. I got the jacket off. I got my sleeves rolled up. We're good to go. Ready to fight. But I need your help because I want to make a point to CCP about one of the issues that I get harassed about on a daily basis since I rejoined the CSM. And you're going to laugh when I say it, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway because it's true. The fucking red dot. I get at least one person asking me every single day, when are you going to fix a red dot? You promise you're going to fix a red dot? Are you guys going to fix a red dot? I'm trying to get some proof, trying to point out to CCP that veteran players really want to be able to turn it off. So what I'd like you guys to do, if you want to help me demonstrate the power of grassroots lobbying, I want you guys to put an F right now in the chat if you want to see the red dot go away. Because then I want to show CCP all the frickin' Fs. See, that's what I'm talking about. This is an easy, quick, simple way for the developers to get a lot of goodwill very easily and very quickly with a large amount of players is just fix this red dot thing and let us toggle it so we don't have to have it on. It's not hard. I mean, even the people that are repeating the Fs, because I'm sure they are, because that's what our audience does. This is what you guys, seriously, this is like the top thing from my campaign. Everybody wanted this done, and it was always popular whenever I said it. So I'm trying to demonstrate that there is popular support for this, and that if we can get this done, it'll make a lot of people very happy, and it's a quality of life thing. It's very easy. So that's it. I'm off it. That's the soapbox. That's all I wanted to do. Let's talk about some war now. You guys ready for war? I'm ready for war.
I'm ready for war.
Because Mittens was talking earlier on the fireside about how if you've not been in a hell war, if you've been in a war but not a hell war before, you're still a summer child. I'm a summer child. I have
Baby's
not been in
hell
a hell
war.
War. I'm
first
looking
hell
forward
war.
To it. All right.
It's going to be pretty wild. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, hello, boys and girls.
Hi, guys. Welcome. We have Asher Elias, our favorite FC, the 23rd best FC in the Imperium. And we have Dark Shines, who is the capital FC, super capital FC in the initiative, my favorite capital FC. and one of my very good friends, a member of the Init 3. Thanks, guys, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead and take it away, Mittens, while I have to resub my wife so she can chat.
Oh, I see. Okay. Let's see.
I've got a soapbox I want to hit, Mittens, if you
want to. Sure, take it away, baby. Take it away. I'm sitting here and, like, you know, touching the shirt and all fashionable and annoying. So go ahead.
All right, Mittens, pick, it doesn't matter. Pick Fox News or MSNBC, whichever one you want.
Do I want to?
No.
I hate them both. I despise
one of two.
Them both.
Just pick one of two.
Fox News.
Okay. So say you're Fox News and you want to have a political debate and you hire the ex-chairman of the Republican National Committee and a senator from Alabama. And to represent the Democratic side, you get a 16-year-old who is interested in debating and is in the debate club. Do you
isn't
think
that Hannity and Combs?
Nothing that shows even on anymore, but yeah. But yeah, you would say that's irresponsible, right?
Absolutely.
I've been seeing a bunch of Eve talk shows doing this like over and over again. And it's like, if Fox News invited that 16-year-old to the debate, I would go if I was the 16-year-old, like, wouldn't you? Like, but it would be very irresponsible. And these Eve talk shows are doing that same thing right now. They're having a 16-year-old boy on to represent one side so that they can have everyone pile on him and beat up on him. And he's actually handling himself admirably. But I just think it's like, I think that, you know, the adults who should know better are the ones who are like perpetuating this behavior. And it's actually gross. It's gross to get like, you know, eight adults on the other side who are like the top FCs in the alliance or whatever, and then one 16-year-old kid for the other. Like, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, credit to Mike Flood. He handled himself admirably when they were like trying to get intel out of him. He just said, like, what are you guys doing? Stuff and things. And it's an interesting thing because, like, one of the fucked up things about this war already is that the bad guys get on like crying in stations. And they like wheedle and they're like trying to do the whole fair and balanced thing. Like, we don't have any of our enemies here on the Imperium News Network as we're gearing up to like do a whole bunch of hell war shit, right? Like, we're not going to lie to you and say, oh yeah, we're presiding a fair and balanced view of the other side because fuck the other side. I don't give a shit anymore, right? Like, it's war. But like on crying in stations, they're all like, yeah. But the funny thing about that, like just sort of in general, what's different about this from some of the other things that we've seen usually in the gear up to a hell war is the fact that Test planned this war, right? Like, Test as an organization, the whole plan for what we are calling World War B started within Test. And they didn't bother with OPSEC because I guess they think this is going to be easy. And so the fact that, like, I guess it was last Sunday, these guys got together on crying in stations and literally spelled out the fact that they had a plan months in advance to backstab the Imperium contingent upon breaking the NIP. They just admitted it on crying in stations. And we have the recording. We've been including the recording in the war update. And then it's been really fascinating watching these guys from Test trying to like walk it back on show after show where they're like, oh, well, you know, we don't really know if anything's going to happen, or like, we're just doing it for the good of the game, or, the Psycho Ex-Girlfriend line, I think, is probably one of the most hilarious things. So like, if you guys haven't been paying attention to what the hostiles are whining about, there's this whole thing about like, oh, the Imperium's like a psycho ex-girlfriend or something. Hold on a second. I got some op shit going on over here. Oh, that's global. Anyway, but they're acting like they weren't planning a backstab. And then they're claiming that the Imperium is like a psycho ex-girlfriend because we are not happy about the fact that we caught them trying to backstab us, and they're claiming that they were never trying to backstab and we're just crazy. Which, incidentally, considering all the fucking Me Too scandals that are happening in the games industry this week, trying to accuse the Imperium of being a psycho ex-girlfriend is just about like the most tone-deaf dumb thing that you can say. But it would work as a smear if we didn't have the recording from Talking in Stations last week where they fucking spelled it out. You can watch it yourselves. They go through and they admit the fact that they were planning on backstabbing us and having a big invasion to go after us. Time for July 5th. But now, we're psycho ex-girlfriends or whatever. Anyway, it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Asher, do you think that we're going to see more of this kind of crap for them, or do you think that we're going to pivot, or I don't know. What's your take on this?
their messaging has changed like a lot. Like they've pretty much given them all pretense of, you know, oh, there might not be a war or whatever. Like
we're going to bring them a fucking war regardless of what they say.
Well, that's what they were saying at first. Right. And then, but they are still trying to say, oh yeah, PanFam won't be involved. It's just test. And I think everyone knows, like everyone who's not just really, really like new to the game or naive knows that how incorrect that is.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like this, it's hard to keep track of because it is so rare that you end up with a hell worth starting with advance notice. Like this is, as far as I can tell, has absolutely never happened in EVE. Usually you launch a war by surprise, and they could have had the option of essentially calling off the attack plan once we announced that we knew the attack plan and we withdrew from Cloud Ring. Which has been a tremendous amount of work, and shout outs to everybody in the Imperium who has been busting ass to make sure that that happens. The logistics effort from the initiative and from Gunswarm and everybody else has just been crazy in the last week. But, you know, they could have called off. They could have just said, okay, we wanted to dogpile them outside and like on a snuff fortizar or whatever, and they pulled back and it didn't work. But I feel like they have, they've handed themselves into a corner. Like they've gone too far. They've said too much. They have done too much that they feel like they are committed to this thing. And we are now committed to this thing. We're delighted to fight World War B and make up for our loss in the Casino War. So, yeah.
All right. So one of the things that frustrated me with last week's Talking in Stations, and you alluded to it because Billy was on there and Panda was on there and they were talking. And one of the things that drove me absolutely crazy was Billy started with this whole, well, the reason we're starting the war is because you guys broke the NIP a bunch of times, which is all horseshit. But one of the things that he was trying to give Pando a hard time about was the issue that we had with Test, where they almost tried to kill our super fleet. And Shines was there, and I wanted to give him a chance to talk about it, because I felt like trying to bust Pando's nuts on Talking in Stations when he wasn't the FC there. Well, I don't even think he was in the fleet when we did that, but Shines was there. So Shines, do you want to talk about that? Are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, so there's this whole history that we have going back to when Innit and Snuff were still friends. Snuff wanted to kill the Keepstar in Kamal, the Losa Keepstar, and they went and put it into I think it was in Final Timer by the time we mobilized. So we moved our Titan fleet alongside Snuff from Fountain all the way through Losec down into Derelict. For anyone who is familiar with Titan ranges, that's a lot of work. Anyway, we get down and we knew that it was on Tappy's doorstep. So we knew that there was a risk of them doing something, but we kind of had it from Vili before the op that they weren't really interested in it. So we figured it was okay to go for it. Between Innit and Snuff, we had 100 Titans or so at the time, plus Supers and Faxes and the rest. PanFam had moved Dread Bombs into range. So we were looking at somewhere between 300 and 500 Dreads with all hostiles gone against us. That's okay. For 100 Titans at the time, that was manageable odds. But anyway, Vili said that they weren't interested in coming, so we felt comfortable enough dropping on the Keepstar. It was a hostile Keepstar, so you have to keep that in mind as well. And then we actually got a convo from Kelmak. I'm not sure if he's still in test or not, but he was the FC at the time. He said that actually they're not forming anything big, and he would like to work together with ourselves and Snuff to kill this Keepstar and kill any Dread Bombs that came in. Now, I laid it out very clearly for them at the time that if they wanted to work within it, they had to respect us working with Snuff, and they had to, you know, work with Snuff as well. There was a whole history between Snuff and Vili and Tappy when Snuff killed his Titan. So I can understand that there was it's a little bit emotional for him. But still, we had it on, on their word that they were not going to interfere. So anyway, Keepstar comes out. I light my Sino on grid to bring our Titans in. Just as I'm keying up to tell our Titans and Snuff Titans to jump in, Jay Amazingness comes to the rescue and jumps into channel and starts screaming, "Do not jump, do not jump." So we don't jump. And we're like, all right, what the fuck is going on? And anyway, it turns out that tests were waiting to form. When I approached Kelmac, who was the FC I was working with at the time, there was radio silence for 5 minutes. We let our cyano go down. And then suddenly I get a convo from Kelmac saying, hey, actually, yeah, I can't work with you anymore on this op. And I was like, all right, okay, why? And yeah, they were going to try and kill the snuff supers and leave the init supers to Panfam, basically. So we opted to not jump in. We turned around the week after and brought our Titan fleet home. And so became the intense hatred of at least myself and a lot of other init members towards Tappy.
You know, that is one of the things that's sort of fascinating to me, and I'm about to talk mad armchair psychologist shit here for a minute, is it's fascinating how like a culture of an alliance, like the founding culture of an alliance, impacts that culture years down the line, right? So like the way that Gunstorm Axe in many ways was founded back in 2006 or late 2005 when we got started. And a lot of the same people who were like the core members of Test are long gone. And yet the organizational culture, which we in Gunstorm refer to back in the day as the madness of Montolio, essentially is this idea that they are just full of like bad posters, which is obvious, backstabbers and like bitches, basically. You have these guys who, no matter what, even if it's not to their advantage, it's like the scorpion and the frog parable. It's like these guys inevitably repeat the cycle of trying to break deals, of trying to set up backstabs. And even if it's not Montolio anymore, even if it's not Leechies anymore, even if it's not Derherder anymore, the crew of people who used to be in different alliances with different cultures have sort of merged into Test and become, just because that's part of the organization they've become part of, a bunch of backstabbers and inept backstabbers of that too, because like Test is not very good at it. What they do is they try to backstab you, and like during the Fountain War, they like tried to backstab the Imperium. We were the CFC at the time, and then allied with PanFam against us, and then fail, and then get devoured by PanFam. And it's just amazing to me that people who I know, these guys, like some of the guys who are in Test leadership right now, are dudes who have been playing in EVE Online and trying to kill Gunstorm one way or another for a long time in one capacity. And some of them have been even in Gunstorm, so they really should know better, right? And watching these guys who, when they weren't in Test, I knew that they were like savvy, like plugged in NullSec players. And then watching these guys join this organization and just sort of like get infected with the madness of Montolio, the idiocy, the backstabber vibe, whatever it is that makes Test Test. And you know, it is kind of disappointing because I did think better of some of them from like an, because, you know, some of these guys in their leadership, you know, I would have never expected. Like one of the reasons why I didn't know Test's doctrines until like a week ago, because we had never had plans to invade Test. We had a NIP with Test, which was designed to protect Test, who are the sort of the weaker partner in this, against Pandemic Legion. And we had a chain of reinforcement Fortizars in what we call the catch exclusion zone, which was one of these ideas came from Vili, was the idea that we would then be able to move our super capitals back and forth to defend each other against the big bad. Because the ancient enemy of Gunstorm, of course, is anything affiliated with Band of Brothers, which is basically the NCDOT and PL Nexus. So left our own devices, we are always going to do what we always do, which is just, you know, shoot the same old people that we end up drinking beers with and reminiscing about in Vegas, right? Like, it's funny because in the real world, when we get together in Vegas, usually the goons end up drinking with NCDOT, right? Because we've just been through a whole bunch of shit together over the years, and also they know how to party. But then we never anticipated that we would need to plan a war against Test, because why would they do this? It's, you know, they wanted the reinforcement chain so that we could guard each other against PanFam. We had even offered, this is something that maybe Asher could talk about a little bit, because, you know, we were talking with Test about deploying into Cloud Ring and doing this thing against Snuff in the hopes of drawing off Horde and drawing off NCDOT such that Test could fight PanFam. And we had hoped that maybe Test would finally have like decided that they weren't going to be backstabbers or bitches anymore, and that they wanted revenge maybe for the many times that PanFam has betrayed them. And they sort of like went up to Cash and like had some sort of like a slap fight with each other or whatever, and then just gave up because they had already been planning. And they told us this on Talking in Stations last week. They had already been planning a backstab for months. You know, it's just these people. Asher, could you talk a little bit about you know, our deployment and our attempts to work together with Test against BanFam?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that, looking back, the thing that's suspicious about it is they asked us over voice, so there's no like log of it, right?
Oh, well, here you go.
Yeah, so I didn't think anything of it at the time. I should have. I mean, really, I shouldn't have, but I didn't at the time.
Why would you, Asher? Why would
you? Yeah, but they did. They you know, it was they didn't say go to Cloud Ring, but they said, you know, if you guys hit the north, then you know, it'll help us do this, and we can meet you know, over at PanFam Space, which was the long term goal until we got informed of this. Until we found out a week before we got informed.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so the long term goal was, you know, Tess goes up from the south, we go up from the, you know, northwest, and we meet in PanFam Space and attack them. But I guess what happened was they got bogged down in cash. They realized they couldn't win. And so, like a dog brought to heel, they switched their masters, I guess. So that's the only
thing. That's what they do. They did the same, like, sort of thing back in the day before the Fountain War.
Yeah.
They
the were, thing that I understand
they
about
were,
Tess.
They were their own master before, right? And now they've now they're allied with their being run by PanFam.
Well, and that's the funny thing. And, you know, I was looking back, I was doing research for the show today, and I went back. There was an interview that Billy did on INN, I want to say last year. Mm-hmm. And I got a quote. They're talking about when PL decided, because, you know, they like to punch down, that they're going to go, you know, mess with Pravi. He said nobody likes PL. That's just the reality. They're bullies. They pick on people and they're smug about it in front of all the other people they're looking at picking on next. That's not a great way to make friends.
So that's the surprising thing, is first off, they said that we didn't help them, but I went back and checked. They didn't ask for any help any particular place, like, that we didn't offer it, you know, like, so if they had said, hey, can you come to this timer, we would have, but they didn't. So that excuse doesn't hold any water. And, but I think the funniest thing is what you just said about how, you know, they came in and, you know, totally changed their views after they couldn't beat someone. They said, let's ally with them. Like, imagine the level of, like, I don't know, the words become such a meme, so I can't say it, but like, what kind of person you have to be to lose to someone and then ally with them when you can't beat them? Like, that's nothing I would ever do.
It's such an alien mindset. And I mean, it's an alien mindset, at least from an Imperium perspective, right? Because, like, we are, you know, like I say all the time, but I guess our enemies just don't realize, even though we have a long track record of taking it very seriously, you know, it's best possible friend, comma, worst possible enemy. And so, you know, people can pick a side. You can either be on in our good graces, and we try to be the best allies we can possibly be, right? It's tough. There are conflicts, but we are trying in good faith to be the best possible, because we also try, when somebody tries to fuck us, we try very hard to be the worst possible enemy.
Let me ask you a question, Mittens. If we lost this war, would you then ally with Test immediately afterwards to attack PL and PanFam?
Absolutely not. I mean, it would be anathema. It would be like the Great War. It would be 10 years of a vengeance crusade.
Get in the mindset of someone who would do that. Like, I
can't think like that.
Well, that's what you have to do, because that's the people we're fighting. You have to think like that.
Whatever the fuck they are.
Like, that's the word I didn't want to say. Yeah. That's what I didn't want to say, but it's what brings to mind. Like, lose to someone, then immediately join them. But that
maybe
was
it's
like
their fetish.
Strategy.
I don't know. Maybe it's their kink. I got nothing.
That was the recruiting strategy for PL for a long time, right? Like, that was what they did. PL would beat people and then absorb them. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's, I don't know.
But that's the thing. Like, I feel like Test wants to call us a crazy ex-girlfriend. I feel like more like Sybil. These guys, they have multiple personality disorder. You can't figure out who they are on what day. They pick the worst people to ally themselves to, and then they wonder why they get stabbed in the back all the time.
Can you explain what Sybil is to the non-boomers, please?
To the non-boomers, it was a movie about a woman that had like 60 distinct personalities. Uh-huh. And that's where everybody in my generation and before heard about multiple personalities, or it was because of Sybil, because of the movie. So, sorry, I'm dating myself, obviously, if the beard didn't already do that. But the thing is, with CO2 and Tess, when they went back, I mean, that was, I never understood that to begin with. But I mean, Tess fights the war against us in Fountain. Then they immediately go and they buddy up with CO2. Then we have all the problems during, you know, during the casino war. And then they're still friends with CO2. CO2 implodes. They can't get along with them. And that was causing all kinds of problems. Then they're trying to find somebody else to be friends with. And they end up being friends with us, but only because they didn't want to be friends with anybody else. Then they got it. Now they hated PanFam. They get pushed out of the north by PanFam. They lose all of the stuff they had up there. And they end up coming to MNCA and down south. And that's where they set up their base. And now they're back with the same people that fucked them over. I don't understand it.
Like, it's not even that. They have no spine. Like, no spine.
I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. And the only people that have ever stood by them 100% without ever having an issue has been the Imperium. We're the only friends that have ever not screwed them at some point.
I think time can heal a lot of wounds, right? But so, like, if they had this fight with the PanFam, you know, 3 years ago where they were betrayed by them, and then 3 years later they're like new leadership, blah blah blah, I would like say, okay, that might be understandable, because everyone,
if they did a hard reset, right? Like, if they did a whole, like, we're starting, you know, clean slate, and they announced it. Yeah,
but imagine not that. Imagine that you're actively attacking them, you lose to them, and then within a week you're in their arms. Who's the abusive boyfriend here? The person who just beat you, and now you're going to do their dirty work? That sounds like the abusive boyfriend to me.
It's stunning to me, because, like, if people, like, and I think the thing that's weird about it is, like, most alliances in EVE are different. Like, most alliances in EVE hold at least some kind of a grudge or have some kind of a spine, right? Because they have, like, an esprit de corps, like, their FCs are cocky and they want to, like, win, they don't want to lose, they want to do stuff, like, whatever.
I just realized something. FCON had more of a spine than Tess does.
Legit. FCON had way more of a spine. FCON, I mean, seriously, like, think about it. Like, you know, if you look at the other alliances in EVE Online, and, you know, this is one of the reasons why we keep saying Tess is next. Like, I understand that this is a test plan, and that an entire pile of pubbies who don't like the Imperium are going to descend upon us on July 5th, if not before, because these people are traitors and they like to break deals. But an entire world of pubbies is going to be descending upon the Imperium. But the reason we keep saying Test is next is that this is, like, a really unique to Test kind of thing. It's their war plan, it's their idea, which is going to be fun. But if you look at PL, if you look at NCDOT, if you look at our, you know, I don't want to say honorable enemies, but, like, you know, these dudes who have been shooting back and forth for years and years and years, if they get fucked over by some random alliance, if they get really royally screwed by someone, PL, NCDOT, any of them, they will not work with those guys. FRT. They will seek revenge. They will have a spine. They will say, these people betrayed us. I want revenge. I want them to suffer what they have done to my friends. I want to blow up their spaceships, right? And what's so weirdly unique about Test is that I think it's because, oh my God, they're like that police snitch character in The Wire. Like, they're like a trained snitch or something. Like, they're whatever bubbles? Entity is, yeah.
Like, they're like bubbles? Okay.
Whichever entity is strong enough to get close to them and, like, basically say, I'm in charge now, they just sort of roll over and piss themselves and do whatever they say. So they yeah.
But, all right, but here's the thing. Like, I have to think, honestly, if you're Test sitting here right now, you're getting ready to go to war against the Imperium. Imperium is unified. It has a standard command structure. Everybody knows who's in charge. And all the groups combined work together pretty well. Because we've had to for the last, you know,
you have a chain of fucking command.
Exactly. So it's unified. You're working, you have Legacy, which is basically Test, Brave, and a bunch of other people, maybe Sib Squad on a good day. But who else is in Legacy? It's really just them. I mean, they're like the number one group.
I learned that Evictus existed last week.
So then they got FRT. Really? They just fought a war against the only war they've won that I can recall that they can honestly go back and say, we won this war, was against Fraternity. And now they're on the same side. And up north, they're expecting PanFam and Horde and the rest of these guys to come after Innit first to get the, I mean, it's obvious, it's telegraphed what they're going to do. We all know what they're going to do. And I just don't see it. I'll be honest. I asked Billy the other day. I guess it was on Trash Talk Tuesday or one of the other shows. I asked Billy, who runs Test? Who is in charge of Test?
It's just test. I don't think that there's. It's just test. People go into test and then they come out backstabbers. So I want to. I mentioned Evictus and how I only realized that they existed last week, and that's not to shit talk Evictus. It's because we had a nip with all of Legacy, and so we were focused on PanFam and doing the whole Cloud Reading thing. It's not like. Not only do I not know anything about them, I don't have any strong opinions one way or the other. I want to make it very clear to people who are in Legacy, because, like, you know, Dunk Dinkle, the guys in Brave, like, when we're in Vegas, when we're in Iceland, like, I always end up hanging with the Brave dudes, right? And we know that this is a test plan concocted by their geniuses, and that Legacy has a whole bunch of other entities in it. And so when the Imperium is saying test is next, I understand that people are going to dogpile on us. I know people are going to dogpile us, but we know who to blame. We know who to seek our revenge against, and that is Test Alliance, please ignore. So when all of this world of idiocy is about to descend upon us, I've been telling our guys very clearly, like, keep the blame where it belongs. This is a test backstab. This is their spinelessness. This is their inherent nature. And all of our guns will be aimed on test. Like, we're not going to be sending people to go hurt Evictus. We're certainly not going to be sending people to, like, go after brave newbies for this, right? Like, you know, they're going to learn a painful lesson of, like, listening to test to decide an invasion plan is not a good idea. But, like, you know, we try to be fair, right? Again, best possible friend, worst possible enemy. We know this is a test thing. So even if everybody in the galaxy is coming at us, all of our guns are pointed eastward at Tappy. And that's it. So I just want to clarify that.
And I agree. And I think that's the thing. Like, at some point, everybody in this random coalition, because honestly, this is the Blue Donut. I mean, this is the real Blue Donut. People want to accuse us of being the Blue Donut. We're not. Imperium has one area of space.
They just project everything that they are themselves. They accuse us of being everything that they are.
Right. And it's like, you look at the map, and literally, it's everywhere else is part of this group that's aligned with, you know, PandaFam or PanFam, whatever we're going to call it. But essentially, they've got the rest of the map. But they don't coordinate. There's no unified structure. Can you imagine? I mean, literally, think about it this way. Imagine a room with Vince, Headliner, Villy, Pro God, Gobbins, Norals, and all of these guys trying to sit there and decide who's going to do what and where they're going to go. I mean, I can't even imagine being in that room. I can't imagine. I mean, PGL won't let anybody get a word in edgewise. But I mean, at the end of the day, how do they make decisions? How are they going to coordinate their actions? And they're coming at us. So we're just going to sit here. And that's why I think, to Asher's point earlier, I was laughing when he was talking about, you know, how they're going on all these shows and they're already backpedaling, because you're right. Now the whole story is, well, they're going to come attack us. They start all this stuff, and we start preparing, and now they want us to, like, drop all of our preparations and go attack them instead? This was their idea. I mean, what? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Talk shit, get hit. And then right? They get surprised when they talk shit. And you know, it's just... Here's the thing, right? Like, they had a couple of options. We figured out their plan, and, like, again, time is a blur, because when we go into Hell War mode, for people who haven't seen it, I was, like, explaining this on a fireside to our guys, is, like, there's wars in Eve and there's Hell Wars. The Casino War was not a Hell War, because it started as a conflict between, like, SMA, that it, suddenly 20 trillion of cheated ISK popped out of nowhere and was funding everybody attacking us. That was not a Hell War, right? Like, that was just, like, sort of it was a black swan event, essentially. Hell War would be the Fountain War. Hell War would be like the Great War, like when there is real animus involved because somebody has betrayed you, right? So when we figured out several weeks ago, and, like, we're all working nonstop to prepare for this. So again, my dates are off because it's just been a blur of invasion prep ever since we figured this out. They could have said, okay, they know we're coming. We do not need to do this, right? They could have just backed off and said, we're not going to catch the Imperium Supercap fleet out in Cloud Ring or out in LoSec. This is a bad idea. We'll wait for another opportunity. But then they all got together in public on live TV and told the world that they had planned this so far in advance that I saw some random test person trying to make excuses here in chat. And kind of, oh, well, you know, how is it a backstab if we're giving them 2 weeks of notice? Because you went on talking in stations and said this was planned for months before, that they were planning on ending the NIP and that they were going to be working to attack us in a non-NIP area in order to try to skull fuck us to the point that they could then invade Delph. They already spelled it out. Killabee already told everybody. Pickles already told everybody, et cetera, et cetera. It's on the record. So once it's out there, they could have just gone with it. They could have said, yeah, we're doing this thing. Like they said it on Talking in Stations and they could have gone, all right, well, we're committed to this. This is what we're doing. But now it's amazing to see that they're trying. It's the spineless thing. They're trying to find excuses. They're, oh, well, we're doing it for the good of the game, or, oh, well, you know, we're going to get invaded or whatever this stuff. They're trying to act like they weren't caught on TV admitting to the plan of a backstab just last Sunday. And they're trying to like squid ink it, like basically a snitch who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, I guess, or the heroin jar, whatever it is that snitches do.
Can we talk about the stunning. NIP for a second? Because one of the most common things that I have heard from test guys is, well, the NIP was to benefit goons, not us. Asher, can you talk about the NIP? I mean, my understanding was they asked for this, not us. Am I wrong in that?
I'm the wrong person to ask. But
right, Mittens, do you remember? Did they ask for that? Or was that us?
It was in like 2017. It seemed like a no-brainer at the time. Like it was obvious, like we were going to be living together. They knew, I don't know if one of our diplomats, it was mutual. Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Thank you, Marana.
It was mutual.
But I mean, it made sense. It made good strategic sense to have a NIP. We were going to be living next door to each other. There was no reason for us to like be in Delve and like, like Esoteria and Paragon Soul suck, right? Their space is shit compared to ours in the Imperium. We have better space than them. We have no desire to take their space. And strategically speaking, Pandemic Legion and NC Dot. So here's a bit of context, a very important bit of context about the NIP. The NIP was agreed upon before we went on our campaign of bloody vengeance against CO2, right? When we went through and we blew up all those keep stars and won all of those super cap battles where we did all this stuff against NC Dot and all their friends, and we deleted CO2 from the game, because that's what we do to traitors and to backstabbers, is we're vengeance is kind of our shtick, right? But at the time, before we won all those campaigns against NC Dot and PL and CO2, the balance of power was very different. We were much more concerned. We didn't have 1,000 Titans or whatever. Like, we weren't like where we are today. So it made a great deal of sense to have a strategic non-invasion pact with Test, because we had a mutual threat that was very dangerous until we did our thing. So it was mutual and it made perfect strategic sense. And it's really dumb of Tess to drink their own Kool-Aid and do this, I guess. So, but to answer your question, that's how it got started.
All right. I want to shoot back to Shines, because, he's been relatively quiet, and that's not the Shines that I know. He's usually telling everybody else to be quiet, not him being quiet. Can you talk about Init and our morale state right now? Because I feel like people don't realize that we're kind of hungry. I'm hungry.
Yeah. I mean, first off, it's a nice change, actually listening and not doing all the talking. But yeah, it's, look, and it's changed a bit in the last 2 to 3 years. We've taken on a lot of new people, a lot of the old guard, you know, as Eve is, you know, I've left the game. So the Init that was, you know, kicked out of Tino all those years ago is a different one to what we are now. And I think I was talking to Pando about this earlier. He was talking to me more so. But for a lot of the guys in it, like, this is their probably the first big war that's going to kick off while actually being part of Init and maybe the Imperium, depending on where they came from, obviously. And I don't know. I feel like morale is pretty high, I'd say. I think everyone's hyped. I mean, regardless of what side you're on, like, everybody is hyped for war, right? Everyone loves those big Titan fights. One, just one. And then after that, you know, all the smaller fights in between. You know, everyone loves that. That's why we play Eve, right? Regardless of what side you're on. So, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I'm really hyped for it. Pando's really hyped for it. We have wanted to tear up this fucking NIP for the last 2 years.
Oh yeah,
year and a half.
That's the thing. We don't like that. We never liked this NIP. This NIP stopped our fun. You know.
I don't know. Like, it's God. Well, no, I mean, look, there's loads of people to shoot in here, right? It wasn't just Tappy, but they have been the ones that have been kind of, you know, we can't shoot them. They're for the they're the people we want to shoot the most, kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I think that one of the reasons for that is that, you know, Initiative being on the western arm, right, of the Imperium, like in Fountain, didn't really have that much of a strategic value in having a non-invasion pact with Test, right? So like the Imperium Corps in Delve borders Test, and so it makes really good sense to have a non-invasion pact there, so there's no structure shooting treaties. But for Initiative, a lot of the conflict that happened in terms of Test trying to like find edge cases around the SNP is that it doesn't make sense. Like Initiative does not need a NIP against a NIP with Test because they are not geographically living on top of each other. And I saw just in chat here, the reason why I interrupt with this is Kelazam is saying, how does the Initiative feel about Test coming to kill them? Are goons going to abandon them like they abandoned French Connection? Dark Shines, Brisk?
Look, it's Initiative has a history, right? We're an old alliance. We have this comes up so often that you actually want to just facepalm so hard. Like people gurgoons, right? People have always gurgoons. Like goons are the big bad wolf that everyone loves to hate on. But you know, we joined Imperium all those years ago because we had tasted every other group, every other coalition. We had tried it out, seen what they were like, and in the end, we always ended up on bottom. We always got shot on one way or another. Now, Bliss would have a much better idea of the history, on early in it with, NCDOT and those other groups. But, in terms of coalitions, Imperium has been the best to us. I don't know. Anyway. I forgot what the question was now, sorry.
It's one of those things where, it's one of those bits of propaganda that, like, puppies like to tell each other stories that, like, the Initiative is not part of the Imperium and, like, that there's all this tension and that they're, they always try to do a divide and conquer. They will pick one member of our coalition and say, the Initiative, let's try to get people to talk shit about the Initiative, which is, I want you guys to understand, because I want especially people who are in Test Alliance, please ignore, that happen to be watching this, to understand what has happened here. For years, for the strategic collective good of the Imperium, it made sense to have a non-invasion pact with Test. And the Initiative did not need that non-invasion pact, but because we are a coalition and we work together, they were part of that. Now, however, all of those years of frustration and annoyance with Tests attempting to chip away at the NIP and go after Initiative and all that stuff, there is no restraint. There is no one holding Initiative back. There is nothing but years of free hunting against Test Alliance, please ignore. Like we're never gonna sign another non-invasion pact with Test Alliance, please ignore. We are never going to need to try to hold people back from going after Test Alliance, please ignore. And in fact, now we have a bunch of more new friends in that cause, because we have we just discovered that we actually have a whole bunch of old allies from the Halloween War, which was the war that led up to the Battle of BR5. Our old Russian allies, a bunch of those guys who we've known for more than a decade, have been living in Stain, hunting Test for sport and running missions and getting Nirvana implants for the last several years. And we're like, oh my God, Hercules and Christos are like in Stain and doing this stuff. So for people who are like hoping for the Initiative to like break off from the Imperium, what I think you're going to see, and maybe the Initiative will break off from the Imperium, I don't, what the fuck ever, it's not going to happen. Like, sorry, puppies. What you're actually going to see is endless devastation of Kikimora fleets firing out of wormholes with Initiative, with the rest of the Imperium, and with a bunch of angry fucking Russians hunting you for sport. That is your future.
And just for the morons in the chat who keep bringing this up, look, French Connection was never part of the Imperium. They were blue to Enid. We were friends with those guys. We still are friends with those guys, as far as I know. Did we reset them, Shines? I don't think we did.
No. Look, there's. Yeah, I've seen the comments in chat as well, and people are going to spin it whatever they want. The truth about French Connection is, when we went up to X-47, what was that, 2 years ago? It was back when CO2, I think, was in Fade. French Connection were hostile to us, and we got a lot of respect for FXR for the things they'd done in that war, because trying to move through their stage.
They were like little gorillas, man. They kicked our asses every time we tried to move around.
Any FC who does big fleets is going to know that the single most annoying thing for any big fleet is those two dictors cloaked on a gate waiting to catch the stragglers that you then have to go back and save every goddamn jump. And that's FXR. That's what they do. And they're very good at it. And, you know, after PanFam got kicked out of the north, pushed back in the north, I guess, French Connection, we decided to, you know, become allies. So between Inid and French Connection, there was never a tie between the main bulk of the Imperium and French Connection. Now, over the years, they have done some stuff since then. They've done some stuff in Cloud Ring. We helped them drop a Keepstar in 7RM. They've been doing their own thing in Pure Blind. Kind of, we have stayed blue with them, but they've been doing their own thing in Pure Blind with the guys in Pure Blind. I mean, they are, you know, their own independent entity with Initiative as allies. And I know Pando spoke about it, I think, on his FC show last night, but when PanFam came to Pure Blind recently, it was obvious that the French Connection Keepstar was going to be one of the big targets, you know, if anything was to go wrong. So, you know, we've always tried to be upfront with FXR and say, look, we don't think this is feasible, but we will help you take it down. I mean, you know, we did take down the 7RM Keepstar because it just wasn't feasible to defend it if all of PanFam came, and with Test and, you know, the writing on the wall and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Imperium moved 2,000 people up to defend that Keepstar when it was on anchoring.
Yeah, we're really bad friends, guys. We only had 2,000 people there to help them. We're shitty friends.
I don't know how much you guys know about Inid Ops, but we've a few different classifications of Ops. Our last CTA was, apart from the one we just done, our last CTA, which alliances usually call on a daily basis, was back when we killed the Rage Keepstar in, was that 2018? November 2018, I think.
Yeah.
So on Crowd Circle, yeah.
So, you know, a year and a half ago was our last CTA. We CTA'd for the FXR Keepstar, and we ended up, with 5 hours notice, ended up, you know, going from our usual 200 in fleet to having 800 in fleet across 5 different fleets, you know, to defend the allies that we're not really good friends with. You know, this shit doesn't add up. And they have since pulled back into Fountain, and they're living with us until we can get them set up with something else. So, you know, we don't leave our allies out to dry. You know, we'll look after them as best we can.
I mean, this is actually,
do you
want to
go to cool kids mode,
like,
for the last 10 minutes of the show?
Yeah, we can go cool kids mode here. I got to say, this whole thing just makes me want to, like, if all the puppies are going to, like, attack these FXR guys, and that they're angry French guys, and they're going to accuse FXR of being, like, part of the Imperium, all I'm hearing is that we should be reaching out to them and working with them more, because fuck puppies. All right, I'll get us into cool kids mode here.
Cool kids mode. I've got a brandy. I'm ready to go. We're going to do a little relaxation for the last 10 minutes because we've had some fun fighting war stuff. Asher, tell me a story. I just want to hear a story because I want to drink and I'm just going to sit here. I want to hear a story from you.
You want to hear a story?
I want to hear a story.
I got a lot of stories.
You know what? You should probably, all right. I shouldn't do this because it's too good a story, but we have 830 people on here.
Uh-huh.
I think the world should hear the Moshmaster story.
The Moshmaster story? Okay.
Great story. No pressure.
Yeah. Great story. No. We have a doctor named after it now. People really like that story. So when I was in fourth grade, I had a friend, and he told me about this, like, amazing secret that he had found out, and it was about the mosh pit. And I didn't really know what a mosh pit was. I was in fourth grade. But he knew, and he gave me a drawing, and it was like in the ground. It was like a 20-foot, hole dug in the ground, like a cylinder into the ground. And in the bottom of this pit were people dancing. And there was one ladder to get up out of the pit. And at the top of the ladder stood the Moshmaster. This is what I was informed of, the Moshmaster. And he drew a picture of it. It was a guy. He was wearing a hood, sort of like a Cobra Commander type hood. And he had like a battle axe. And the Moshmaster, like, just basically took control of the mosh pit. And the most important rule was that you can never look or especially take a photo of the Moshmaster, or he will kill you. Like, literally end your life right there. And I thought this was all legit. Like, I'm like, that's pretty hardcore. But, you know, I'm in fourth grade. I'm like, wow. So, like, as I got a little older, I had, like, a little older friends. You know, I was, like, in sixth grade. And, like, my eighth grade friend told me about he went to the Warped Tour and was in the mosh pit. And I'm like, dude, did you look at the mosh master? You got to be careful. And he just looks at me like I'm an idiot. Like, I'm the dumbest person in the world. You know, like, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what, the mosh master? I'm like, yeah, the guy who has the axe. And I just started realizing how dumb I sound. I was really disappointed by the time I actually got to see a mosh pit. It wasn't a hole in the ground. There was no man with an axe, like, killing people who looked at him. It was really a lot less hardcore than I had ever hoped or heard about.
That's my favorite story.
Oh my God, it's so good. So, like, you know, we named our the classic, like, you know, it's a hell war when, like, Goonswarm breaks out the whelp cans, right? Like, that's like one of our old school, like, for the AK-47 of Goonswarm going back decades, or at least a decade and a half, is a whelp cane. And we brought those back and we named them Mosh Masters. And it's been really kind of cool because there's been some dude in Goonswarm loved the story so much that he made a character named Mosh Master. And as we have been doing our, like, redeployment moves, as we pull everybody back from Cloud Ring and we basically activate siege mode on Fortress Delve, some dude has made the Mosh Master, who sits at the very top of the Keep Stars, and it, you know, it's a warning, don't look at it.
It's overlooking the pit, yeah.
Don't look at the Mosh Master.
I will say, the one thing about it, I love that the guy made it, but he could have done the Amar dude who has that, you know, that hood. You know, you could have
character portrait.
It's a little disappointing, but other than that, I'm really pleased that there's a Mosh Master watching over our Keepstar pits right now.
That's amazing. So if the whelp canes are kind of like an AK, so if I didn't even have to use my whelp cane, I had to say
it's a good day. Exactly. There
you
go.
if you right click Mosh Master and click look at, you immediately get doomsday. It'd just be very careful.
That's a great idea. That should be in the game. All right, that's on my list. We're gonna
Risk,
put that
you
on
should
list
do,
for CCP.
You should do one of those on the inner Keepstar. You can call him Handsome Grandpa.
That's a good idea. I could do it. There you go. Or I could just use my favorite Sino alt that I created. Is called Dark Shine's Potato Farm. And I have him specifically so that when Shines is FCing a fleet, that I can move it and make him say, all right, everybody jump to Dark Shine's Potato Farm. Because he's Irish. So
stereotypes in it or a thing.
It's total stereotypes.
Well, you know, some of our FCs are literally farmers. So, you know, it's definitely a thing these days. Wow. Yeah, I my brain always just kind of turns off after the Mosh Master story because it's so good. I've heard it like three times now, and I had to mute my mic because I was going to interrupt the story by laughing my ass off too loud.
The first time that Asher told that story, I think we all about fell out of our chairs. It was so good. It's like the best story ever.
I'm glad my fourth grade naivete. I probably should have thought.
Like, I mean, were there any other good fourth grade stories?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So would I have been 10 at the time? I think, yeah, it's probably people who aren't American don't know what fourth grade is. So I would have been like 10 at the time when that happened, when I learned the secrets of the Mosh Master. I think I'm going to commission some art, like a recreation of the drawing. Because I had a drawing, you know, on a sheet of paper that I saved of the Mosh Master, but it's gone now. So I might have some talented artists do a new drawing. I'll tell them what it looked like and I can have the Mosh Master. It was all done in pen by my friend. It was really comprehensive.
We need Cat Lowe's to do the Mosh Master picture. I mean, that's really what we
need.
Oh
my God.
If we can get him back.
Yeah. Was the Mosh
Master?
I
didn't know there was like art. That's amazing. Oh,
yeah, there was art. Yes. What did you say, Shuns?
Was the Mosh Master a fan of spicy chicken?
Yeah, no, he's way more hardcore than me. Like, I wasn't I don't know why you guys keep bullying me. This has been a whole week.
Well, all I'm saying is me. My Father's Day gift like was spicy chicken just because you brought up that you didn't like
it. I'm like translucent. Like, I don't know how to describe this any better. I just am not equipped to eat spicy food.
You can see through my skin because I am a vampire. Actually, speaking of spicy chicken, one of the things I'm excited about. So I'm moving into a new place. One of the reasons why I'm busting so much ass on this war is that I'm gonna have to move house in a couple weeks. Should be, you know, whatever. Throw money in the problem. Have movers.
Just tell them the exact day so that they can launch.
I'll tell them it'll be. I'll lie about it. That's actually a good idea. I'll tell everybody when I'm moving, and then you know it'll be later. But I'm excited because. We're going to have like equipment to like, I rarely fry food and I'm very like, I miss my Popeyes really bad. And so when we move into the new place, I'm going to get to like use my girlfriend's like fryolator or whatever it is, and we are going to like recreate both the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and we're going to like recreate like the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and then I'm just going to start making myself some like hot chicken. And sorry, I clearly like hot chicken, because I, instead of talking about Spaceship War or anything that actually matters to anyone at all, I'm now fantasizing about the Popeye's chicken sandwich that I have not gotten to
eat enough of.
And Asher not liking spicy chicken is still just something that...
I actually order that Popeye's chicken sandwich with no mayo, because that mayo is a little spicy for me.
Oh my God.
Not even a joke, I do order it no mayo. So yeah, it's really...
A cheeseburger without the cheese kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I can't believe it.
Wow.
Sorry.
All right, we got a little bit left here. I'm in the afterglow of the Moshmaster story. It's like I laugh so hard, it's almost like an afterglow.
There's no way to top that. That story is the best. Now,
we haven't talked
about this yet, so I thought I'd just throw it out there. Next weekend is the 4th of July.
Great time to start an invasion on July 5th on a Sunday. Everybody loves doing move ops on a Sunday after 4th of July. What could possibly go wrong?
Right?
Strategic genius at work.
Are we going to do a show next week? Do we want to do a show on the 4th of July? Independence Day? Independence Day show? We can wear red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I can't go outside and celebrate 4th of July because pandemic. And also, some motherfuckers are deciding that they want to invade the Imperium the very day after. So I will be spending my July 4th holiday plotting the doom of Test Alliance Please Ignore, which is basically what I do every day for the last several weeks. I get up, I work on space stuff, I plot tests annihilation, or not annihilation, but various schemes. So yeah, we'll do a 4th of July show. Sounds fun. I'll be here. We can do it. And then the next day we get invaded.
I'm going to have to come up with some good Independence Day stuff just to trigger all the non-Americans.
In the days after that, we'll have a delayed fireworks show in the days after 4th of July. So.
Yes.
I have to laugh because on the Evo forums, the official Eve forums, Comey Valentine, who was one of the CSM folks, ran, and he was complaining he didn't have any money. He's like a big role player. So I sent him a billionaire because I'm a very generous... Very generous brisk. I send out money to people all the time. They ask me for stuff as a joke in Jita, and I send it to them, and then they laugh, and it's funny.
Santa Brisk in when?
What?
Santa Brisk skin.
Santa
when?
Brisk, exactly. I got the beard. I'm like Santa. Come skin sit to on my win, lap baby. And tell skin me what you win. Want. It's nice. And so I don't even know that you just blew my mind with the Santa Brisk thing. I can't even remember where I was going with it.
You gave money to some guy
Money to Comey Valentine, and he made this post on the forums about how he made this special integrated wasp or something that was like pro America, like a big flag or something on that. And all I did, I responded to it with all I said was "America," and that was my response to it. And it was like my way of thanking him. Mm-hmm. That got flagged and removed by the developers because by the mods on the forum because it was apparently inappropriate.
Oh my goodness!
Like saying "America."
Every single person who has ever been, well, maybe not every single person, but like every military, like most even civilians, but certainly like everybody who's ever been anywhere near the American military, like you just say "America."
America. It's a joke. We always say "America." It's like funny. But I guess some people get triggered by that. So
I have an idea for July 4th. So like a lot of people are going to be out, like they can't go out like they normally would to watch the fireworks or go to barbecues. We should have a 1DQ barbecue where we get everyone to have a ship of the fireworks on the Keepstar and just break the grid.
It's
just
a Saturday. Mind One. I didn't realize that Mind One streams. I only learned this from like a couple of Saturday Night Storms ago that when he's live streaming and we set up ours as a live stream from 1DQ1.
I didn't realize that was live here.
Yeah, imagine 500 people. 500 people sitting on fireworks on stream. Yeah.
World War B inauguration day. We'll do that. We'll celebrate the start of World War B July 4th. Fireworks display in 1DQ1 and then the doom of our foes.
I will make sure that the background is live next week and we can set off fireworks the entire show. It's going to be great.
Can I just say,
there you go. It'll be fun.
If I don't see America spelled out on the 1DQ Keepstar in Titanlands, I'm going to be fucking disappointed.
I mean, seriously.
Runes and spelling is a bit of a difficulty.
Yeah, but I think we need Panda to do that for us. Do you think we can get a non-Marker to do America for us? Yeah, please.
He's the king of riding stuff in space with fleets and stuff. So, all right, gentlemen, we have hit the 1 hour mark. I think this was a pretty good show. We had a lot of fun. I still have.
I want to reach out to French Connection now and like help them more. You know, Dark Shrine sold me completely on French Connection. Now I'm like, okay, well, you know. Expect more diplomatic.
Those guys are such a pain to fight. I remember.
Dude, I love those guys because they're such a pain to fight.
It's admirable. Yeah, like 20 of them.
Red Swarm Federation shit right there. Angry French people, angry Russian people, angry goons and friends, and we all put it together, and hilarious things happen. All right. Let's do it. I think that's it for us. We will be back next week. We're going to do a July 4th show, and we're going to have a big-ass fireworks 4th. Display, which we have just agreed upon right now. But
we're going to make it happen.
We're going to do it live.
All right, gentlemen. Asher and Dark Shines from Innit, thank you for joining us this week. As always, Asher, it's great to have you back. Shines, I love you. Pinecone, Stolenda Est, and you stay classy, New Eden.